show. We're here at Richmond Spires head coach Chris Mooney here with me out of the Atlantic 10 Conference. Coach, how you doing? How you doing in Richmond today, man?
Doing great, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, indeed. Coach, I'm going to ask you this first question for you, Coach. You've been at Richmond going on your 15th year. So what's been the key to your longevity, being at one place along in the business like coaching where there's so much turnover, but you've been in one place for 15 straight years here at Richmond?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I mean, one thing is I think we have a pretty good, I think my coaching philosophy matches the school philosophy. You know, we're a private school. We have, great fans and great tradition, but also, a lot of pride in recruiting good guys or good students and can do well and represent the university well. And I think that, it's a pretty good fit in terms of how we want to recruit and compete. And I think that the alignment there is pretty good. And I would say that's probably the most important. That was probably the most important factor in the fact that we've been here so long.
Yes, indeed. And so, so what do you feel like your greatest accomplishment has been at Richmond so long? Is it graduating young men, seeing young men go and play college basketball and play professional ball, playing for you, seeing coaches come off your tree, or is it having young men become great husbands, lawyers, doctors, businessmen after playing for you for 4 years?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of those things. Look, I think that the college basketball program, we spend really an incredible amount of time together as a team. And, not only practice, but film sessions and hanging out and traveling. And so I think the opportunity to have an impact on a guy. And I'd say part of my favorite part is seeing someone develop from coming in to recruiting. I mean, sometimes a recruiter is when they're, maybe 16 years old and, to see them go through maturation process, the struggles as a basketball player, as a college student, and then kind of going through to become a little bit of a cement product and move into the world. I think that's probably something that's most exciting to me, just seeing that maturity take place for somebody from when they're 16 to when they're 21 or 22.
Yes, indeed, and I think it goes to the development piece of it as well, developing as young men, as players, and skill development, and life development for these young men, because at 18 and 22 are their most formative years when they're ready to come and go into the real world. So you're like the last step before they step into this world of being a man, having to grow into being a husband, a father, or whoever they have to be. I feel like that's really key when you come to college, you get that last little bit of toolage to teaching to take you for the rest of your life going forward.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, while we're playing basketball, they love it too. They have the energy to do it. And they're going to meet a lot of challenges because there are so many good players and programs across the country that we're trying to play and compete against. They're going to feel how difficult it can be and feel that challenge and make sure they have to get in the gym and learn these lessons that will really help them later on in life, how to persevere and have some grit and try to push through some things that are difficult.
Now, Coach, I know last year was a little tough for you guys, so what did you and your staff prioritize in April, May, June, July, and August to get your team ready for this season where you're already 6-1 and 3-1 versus high major schools already?
Yeah, I think our biggest thing was we needed to get older. We were a really young team last year. We needed to get older, and obviously that's going to happen. And then we really focused ourselves on two critical pieces, which were toughness and defense, and one has a lot to do with the other, but we really need to get tougher. And a lot of that comes with age and experience. And we need to really work on our overall team defense. And, that comes down to these very fine details and fundamentals of coming to the ball and helping your teammate and understanding how to work and those kind of things. Just doing those things over and over and over. And that was really critical for us. We worked really, really hard at it. And it wasn't as fun of an offseason because we worked so hard with the defensive principles, but it was important to us in the process. I think we also built our toughness.
Exactly. And also help toughness coach is a strength coach. I feel like a lot of fans understand how important having a great strength conditioning program helps young men grow over the offseason, because you want them to be able to get through contact and finish a bucket after goal or shoot a jumper through a hit on the wrist there and make the shot still. So just talk about how important it is having a strength coach to help these young men grow and over the offseason, get bigger, stronger, and faster to help you guys and be able to sustain defensive energy that you need to win games as you get into A-10 play coming up here in January.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have a great strength coach led by our strength training program, led by our coach Jaden Mayo, and he does a tremendous job of our guys. And those guys, our guys spend as much time with strength coach as anybody. You know, they're in there, you know, lifting weights and working on their agility and doing all those kinds of things. And you're right, you must get stronger. And if you go last division one basketball game, I think the first thing everybody will notice is how big and strong all the guys are, and to be able to compete. No matter how skilled you are, you need to be able to match that physicality and that strength and just continue to enhance your body and push yourself to make sure you're able to accomplish some of the things that you talked about, because strength is really that critical to stay in age and help it.
Exactly. And coach, for your program, you've been a 15 years. It's a well known team, it's a well known brand in mid major basketball. So I feel like you can recruit any guy you want to, whether it be a high school, senior, prep school guy, JUCO guy, a transfer guy, you can sit one, a grad transfer, or an international guy. So you can pretty much put a roster together however you need to, and like you said, get older when needed, pretty much based on the brand and the recognition of Richmond basketball, which has been good for so many years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you're always trying to push that and spread the news and, you know, capitalize on the appearances on television and postseason appearances, those kinds of things, just to try to make, you know, whether it's your recruit or his parents or his coach, just understand, hey, this is a good player, it's a guy, it's a great school, and you're just trying to set as much as you possibly can. And, you know, obviously some success builds upon itself, and hopefully, you know, right now we have, we can say, hey, we've had this. This guard is more confident. This big guy is more confident. This is what they do. This is what they did at the at college. So those things are really important. And always working hard to make sure that people understand who we are and promote our successes.
Coach, I kind of mentioned a little bit in my last question about being 3-1 against high major teams already. So how does it make you feel, you know, being an A-10 school, knowing that you compete against high major teams, and you're 3-1 already against those kind of teams, and showing what your team has been about, and how did to see all that payoff of what you hard work you put in this offseason defensively is really just coming through now, but you've been 6-1, but 3-1 versus high major schools?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, it's always been a tradition at Richmond, you know, long before I was here, that Richmond will play in the body, play those big name schools from the power conferences and have success. And so, you know, that's something we've always tried to do, have as many of them on our schedule as possible, and feel really fortunate that we're able to beat three of them this year. We have Alabama, I think New Year's Eve, one more to play. But yeah, it's really important to us and really important to our conference, but more importantly, really important to our program and fans that we take on those kinds of teams, that we can compete very well against those teams.
Yeah, like you said, because I don't know, you all have aspirations to go to the Big Dance in March. So, please to get far in the Big Dance to play these kind of teams. I feel like it prepares your team for the bigger picture, which is March Madness, and the A-10 slate, which is very tough because 14 teams in the A-10, including yourself, it's a tough slate every night in the A-10 for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, 14 teams, and, you know, we've had really great success as a conference, and our schools have gone out and played everybody around the country, and that means that they're well tested and well seasoned and ready to play once conference play starts in January. So it's always a big challenge, and hopefully we'll prepare ourselves well here in the non-conference to go out and have a really good conference.
Speaking of how good your conference is doing, 10 of your 14 teams are over 500 at this point in non-conference play. I mean, that's amazing for an mid-major conference that 10 of the 14 teams are above 500 already.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, our conference office sends out updates, and you know, obviously we track and follow the other schools in our league, and you know, that's a great number, and we have really good programs. You know, there's great coaches, great history, great tradition, and good program. So it's good. We need to cheer for one another in the non-conference, and then try to beat one another during the conference season, because, you know, that just enhances our overall numbers and our opportunity to get as many teams in the NCAA tournament as possible.
And you got Hampton tomorrow night. Coach Butt joined us. A great job at Hampton. They play Flasbury at the late team now in the Big South. So the challenge against Hampton and Butt joined us. What you get sent for them on film as you guys prepare to play those guys tomorrow night?
Yeah, well, just a really good overall team. You know, they have, you know, they can play. What I'm always most impressed is they play at any tempo. They can play fast and press. And they can also play a half court game and shoot 3-point shots and, you know, have slashers. So I feel like their versatility is something that is important that we can deal with it, because I think they'll be in a game where they haven't pressed the first 10 minutes and then maybe press the rest of the half. And I just think they have versatile enough players and creative enough coaches that they really make things difficult for the opponent each and every night.
Now, Coach Mooney, I'm actually about to say Virginia. It's so many quality basketball teams, Virginia in D1. I mean, from you guys, VCU, Hampton, and Norfolk State as well, up the road there, Liberty down there. So it's so many quality teams that's not in the big conferences. But so talk about how tough it is to recruit in Virginia with all these quality schools that are actually good and relevant right now, just trying to compete for these young men who want to play at D1 basketball there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of great teams, a lot of great programs, and what's important is there are really a tremendous amount of high school basketball players from Northern Virginia all the way down through the entire state. And so you're just always competing in every way because there are plenty of options for these guys. You can get anywhere in a car ride, and there have been some really good, Liberty had a tremendous season last year and is really good again this year. Radford, we have tremendous respect for Radford program. And they're just littered throughout the state, Drew Mason up in Northern Virginia. So, it's important to just compete. We try to play as many of those teams as we can during the course of the year. And you're just trying to compete and try to nudge ahead whenever you can, especially when recruiting's upon.
Now, after you get through at Hampton here tomorrow night, Coach, you have an opportunity for some days off before you play South Alabama and Coach Riley. So would that be an opportunity for you to kind of self-scout your team and kind of see what the guys you guys can improve some more, kind of work on yourselves before you get ready to play South Alabama again on Sunday coming up?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's probably – when you have these gaps in the season, that's probably the most important time that you have. When you can look at yourselves, go back, look at your games, just take a couple practices where you're not worried about scouting, you're just worried about yourselves. Try to improve on things in terms of your ball movement on offense, your rotations on defense, but you're really just worried about yourself. And that's kind of the time that we value the most here during the course of the season.
That's what I got for you, Coach Diaz. Who are some coaching individuals who really have impacted you personally and professionally and helped you in this business of coaching over the years?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are many, many coaches who I've really admired and who have been, good and kind to me. I played for a coach, Pete Carrill at Princeton, who's in the Hall of Fame. And obviously he's, has been incredibly important to me and my development as a coach and my, being able to stay in the profession and get started in the profession. And then of course, Fran Dunphy, who's a Philadelphia guy, which is where I'm from, who had a great career coaching at Penn and Temple. Fran O'Hanlon at Lafayette, another guy who really helped me along the way. And, there are tons of them. And I think if you're, when you're a young coach or an older coach, I mean, I think you're always, you're always trying to talk to people and learn and try to pick their brains and see what they have. And I found that really coaches have been extremely helpful in terms of sharing with me, some of the things that have worked for them over the years and some of the challenges they've encountered.
Coach, every in Atlanta, love to have you come in studio here in Midtown Atlanta with us and come and talk Richardson Rice basketball with us here in studio as well. Coach, I know you guys are recruited down here as well. I know it's a good area for a lot of teams to come down here to find good players. So I hope to see you soon when you're here in town, whether it be the Peach Jam or Lake Point or wherever it may be. Hope to catch you when you're in the city here, Coach.
Yes, sir. That sounds great. I look forward to seeing you.
All right, Coach. Have a good one. Thank you for joining the show today now.
Thank you.
All right, it's Chris Moon here on the Boss Man Show.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting or Twitter at Coach TWheel24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Yo, folks, back with the Jedi Boss Man Show, friend of the show. Coach of Eastern Washington Eagles out of the Big Sky Conference, doing all his shots and leggings on the Boss Man Show. Coach Leggins, what's good out there in Eastern Washington, man?
Man, you know, it's all good out here. You know, guys are just getting done with practice, you know, getting ready for this game on Wednesday and coming off. I gave him a day off yesterday, so it's a, you know, just getting their legs back under them. So we're doing good out here, man. Everybody's relaxed and excited for the, you know, the upcoming games we got coming up.
Man, Coach, you're in year three leading the Eagles, man. So tell me, what's been your greatest accomplishment in your mind since you've been in Eastern Washington 2017 when you first started heavy on the show, when you first got hired out there?
Well, my best accomplishment is we've maintained about a 3.5 GPA, and all our guys have graduated. So that's the top thing right there. And then on the flip side, basketball-wise, all our guys are getting better. You know, we've gotten some guys out to go play for money. We've gotten some guys out who left here, the all-time leading scorer. You know, we've been in the championship game the last 2 years. So our first 2 years we've been in a championship game. We're hoping we could break down that door and get to the NCAA tournament. But we've been doing a good job of getting some good hungry guys here. And so that means the most. That means the world to us because guys are getting better as we move forward. So, yeah, so those things right there is what I'm most excited about with this team.
And you know what? That player development and also male development of all these young men, because they're student athletes, first of all, and you got them at 18 to 22, 23 years old. It's their formative years to actually grow them as men and help them become great husbands, great fathers, and also great professionals, whether it be basketball or some off the court as well.
Exactly, and that's your goal. That's what you want for these guys, and that's what you want for these young men is to make sure when they leave here better men, more prepared for what's going to happen in life. You know, athletics teaches you a lot, and you know it teaches you how to, you know, do things and be disciplined, but it also teaches you how to get along with people and understand people from different backgrounds. If you look at our team and how we have our team formed, they get to see a bunch of different cats, and they get to see, you know, different guys, different everything, different religions, different races, you know, different types of, you know, just different types of people, which is always a positive for us.
And you speaking about that, Coach, you're recruiting nationally real tough. International recruiting has been really good for you. You have three guys from Australia. Think about those guys. How did you come across those guys from Australia and bringing them east to Washington when Australia is a real warm continent? They come play for you east to Washington up there, man.
No, exactly. We've had kids from Lithuania, Serbia, the Dominican. We've had them everywhere. And, you know, these young men, they come over here. They have the dream of playing Division I basketball, having the opportunity to, you know, further their education. A lot of these kids are really smart, and they look forward to a lot of this. And when they get out here, you know, we've had kids here before from Australia. We've done a good job, I think. And you know, it's word of mouth. And once it's word of mouth, and they know how they like it here, and how they're treated and how they're respected, they all want to come back. And they always give us good words when they get back home. And so it helps us down the road for recruiting.
Now, looking about your program, Coach, all of you have been there. You've been competitive in that Big Sky tournament, whether you be playing Montana, a tough game, and Coach DeCure, what he does in Montana there. But every year, you've been competitive in that Big Sky tournament. So I feel like you're knocking on that door of getting over the hump there, because you've been at year three here now. You got your culture in place. You got the guys you want now. And look, you're non-conference play, you're already 4-2. So I feel like this year is a year for you to actually maybe break down that door and punch that ticket to the big dance there.
Yeah, you know, you never know how it goes, you know, with injuries. You know, we've had the last 2 years, we've had injuries at the worst time with, you know, not just, you know, it's been top, our top players have been getting hurt towards the end of the season and last year to start the season. And so with that being said, you know, that's why we have guys who are here this time, and we have guys that, you know, like Mason Peatling, Jacob Davis, and they were hurt last year and now they're healthy this year. So you see a little bit of a difference. And you know, we've gotten off to a good start this year, but you never know how the Big Sky is going to end up, because it's very competitive with good coaches throughout the whole Big Sky. And, you know, they got good players. And so, you know, you just got to go in and just be peaking at the right time. And luckily the last 2 years we've peaked, but we haven't really gotten over that hump with Montana and Coach DeCure. So we got to make sure if we get to face them again, we can handle our business. But, you know, you never know. There's a lot of good players and a lot of good coaches, and teams right now are stepping up and being huge. You know, they're playing really well right now. So, you know, as you watch the Big Sky, they've had some big signature wins so far in our conference.
And come off last year's third place finish in the Big Sky, 12-8 there in conference there. What did you and your staff prioritize for April, May, June, July, and August to get the team ready for September and October and November and December? What did you guys kind of to say we got to get this accomplished over the offseason and get better for next year?
Well, it's one of those things where we tell our guys, like, hey, listen, this is what we got to do. You know, we're always getting ready for the big sky, and we always want to be great. You know, we want to be terrific with how we play, but we want to make sure that we're getting better. And so, you know, we were 1-9 last year at this point, you know, one of these points, and we made sure that, you know, these guys understood how important it is to just keep getting better. And each time we play, we got to keep getting better, and that's what I keep preaching to the guys.
No doubt. And like you said, a lot of times, a lot of people, like I said to you previously before we had the show, people don't understand this. You guys are playing guarantee games a lot of times in November, December, raising money for the university. So the record is not really indicative of how good or bad your team is, because you're playing a lot of these high major schools to get money for the university as well.
No, that's exactly it. And a lot of people don't understand that. They don't see it. You know, some coaches get nervous about it. I take it as recruiting tools. You know, I take it as one of those things where it's like you got to make sure you're playing your best basketball. And if you have a team that understands exactly what you're trying to do and exactly how we're going to finish it off, you know, hey, listen, we got to be peaking towards the end of the season. Right now you're getting to play against guys that you wouldn't get to play against throughout. You know, we get to play against Jaden McDaniels. We get to play against guys from Boston College and St. Louis. These are games that you get to go and prove yourself against some really good talent. And so, you know, when we're able to do that and we're able to move forward, the guys understand it, and you have a mature team. Even though we're really young, we have a mature team that understands we're trying to get our best basketball towards the end of the year.
Exactly like you said, it's a recruiting tool because it helps put Eastern Washington in front of new eyeballs, pretty much. And also, it expands your reach because, you know, like you said, you're an international school. You can get guys internationally, of course. We've talked about grad transfer-wise, transfer, or you can do a JUCO guy, a prep school guy, or a high school senior if you want to. You can get six different ways you can get players for your university. And going to play these big schools help push you in front of new eyeballs. Maybe a kid may say, oh, that's a good player. I can play ball at Eastern Washington, maybe. So, like you said, recruiting tool. Don't look at the record. Worry about how it's growing your program for success later.
Exactly. And so when you're able to tell kids, hey, listen, we're playing against some of the best teams in the country, some of the best players in the country. You know, we got to make sure we're ready to go. We got to make sure that, you know, we're pushing forward and we're able to, you know, we're playing against teams that, you know, are going to be playing in the NCAA tournament. You're playing against kids that you'll see in the NBA. And so you want to be there. You got to play against those teams. You got to make sure you're ready to go. And it's a great recruiting tool, like you said. And being able to play against the best and being able to have these guys out there and play against some of these schools is big time for us.
Yes, indeed. You got a big one coming up here against Washington here on Wednesday night, man. So what do you say for those guys on film is get guys to prepare to play to those Huskies up there in Seattle?
Man, I tell them, look at those guys, man. They're so good. They create so many deflections, block shots. They push the ball. They have tempo. They play so hard. And, you know, it's like I tell the guys, you know, you're getting to play against these guys, so go out there and give them your best. Don't go out there and be nervous because of who you're playing against or anything like that. Go out there and make sure you put your best foot forward and these guys remember you. You know, you go out there and play right, you can win this game. And so, you know, we go into every game like that and make sure that that's the important thing for us to do is go out there and make sure we give our best foot and get better every game. We want to be better than we were our last game.
And Coach Liggins, like you said, your guys should be inspired because look at Evansville, what they did to Kentucky. Look what Steve F. Austin did to Duke. I mean, two teams at your level won against number one teams in the country. So if you play the right way, execute your future game plan, have game plan discipline, you can win that game on the road at Washington and not be scared if you're not afraid of those boys when you get on the field, if you get on the court there.
Exactly. And that's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what we want to do is make sure we just go out there and put our best foot forward. We got to get better from our last day. We got to get better from today, tomorrow. And we got to keep getting better every day. That's the goal. And then by the time March comes around, we should be our best selves and go for that Big Sky Championship.
Speaking of that, Coach Liggins, you know, you played Belmont on 26th there, so you had some time off to kind of self-scout. So I'm pretty sure you and your staff really went back to school on yourself trying to figure out how you can get better every day because, like you said, you had a rare break day in between games here between Washington and Belmont to kind of do some little evaluation of yourself here.
Exactly. And, you know, you look at it and you say, oh, man, we were doing this there, we're doing that. That's not good. We're turning the ball over here. Come on, man, we got to be better there. We got to defend better. So, yeah, we got to do self-scouts, and we got to go back through everything and make sure we're doing everything the right way. And it's always great to see. But also, as coaches, we get to go back and see what we could do better, you know, how we can be better. How can we make our teams better as coaches? Should we have called a timeout here? Should we have had them set up this way? You know, there's a lot of things that we're evaluating besides just the players. We're evaluating ourselves and how we travel and make sure that, you know, we're doing everything the right way.
Now, Coach, how much different is Belmont since Rick Burton's gone there and Casey Alexander took over Belmont now? How much different are they now with Casey than they were under Coach Bird there?
It's like they're the same. They did everything the same. You know, they had the same. They did the same play, the same. It's pretty much the same everything. And you know, they have a really good team. They have some really good players there. And so we made sure to, you know, be in the right place. We couldn't give them 3-point shots. And you know what we didn't get to see is the Belmont back door. So we didn't get beat back door once. But they do a good job, and he does a great job. He's going to do well there. I think they're going to have a great season this year. I think they got all the tools to be very successful.
Now, Coach, I was kind of mentioning it a little to you earlier here. You got in the Big Sky Conference, you have 6 of the 11 teams at 500 or better at this point in non-conference play. For a big major conference like the Big Sky, that's to make you guys feel good as a whole conference, as a whole. The 6 of your teams already are over 500 or better. It's not even Montana; it's one of them, but the rest of you all are. You know, which was so crazy.
Exactly. It just makes the league better. It makes everything more exciting. You know, I root for those guys whenever they play against anybody. You know, a lot of teams in our league or a lot of coaches will always root against them, but I want them to be good because I want to play them at their best and make sure we'll give them, you know, we're putting forth the best product for the Big Sky tournament, and that leads on to the NCAA tournament. And I want our conference to win games in there. I just don't want to go in there just to play. I want to be able to say, hey, our conference is doing well. We beat that team and we gave them their all. Now look at what they're doing. You know, we want to put our best team forward.
And it's also, again, a recruiting tool right there. Beating the best teams in the league, you know, helps you get guys as well, for sure.
Definitely.
Liggins, man, look, man, it's always good to have the short brother. Hope you get that win against the Huskies, man. Take them suckers down, Coach. I hope you get the job done, man.
Don't worry. Yeah, we will do our best, and I want to make sure when we do, I'm going to give you a call.
You know, hey, always welcome here in the Boston Circle, Coach Liggins. You know, you can call here anytime, man. You're welcome. Come on anytime you want to, brother. You know, you're welcome here on this airways here in the ATL, man.
Definitely. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for calling.
Yes, indeed. That's Coach Liggins here on the Boss Man Show.
My heart skips giving a beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back here on the Boss Man Show, joined by USF Don's head coach, Ty Golden, here with me on the Boss Man Show. Coach Golden, things out there with you guys out there in San Francisco, man.
Hey, going well, man. We took our first L this weekend, but honestly, with the 7-1 start, we're really pleased, and we have some great games upcoming this week, and we're just excited for them to get here.
You got there right, Coach. I must ask you, man, we talked when you first got hired earlier this year. What's been the biggest improvement in your mind in the program since you took over full-time as the head man?
The biggest improvement, simply, I would say, is you know, that we were able to keep all our guys around. You know, we were able to keep 9 of the scholarship guys around, and really I think what you're seeing out of this group is just an older, more mature group where some guys who are having more opportunity are now stepping up. And, you know, we lost three seniors last year, which was tough, but you see guys like Jamari Bouye, who's having a really, really good year. Guys like Khalil Shabazz, Trey Anderson, Ramu Wright, and guys that are in those, you know, were in those reserve roles really stepping up. And I think you're seeing the continuity of these guys playing together, and, you know, it's producing good results on the floor.
I think it's good. You kept you, who's already on staff. You kept all the guys in place this summer. You all could grow, build, and develop together as one. You use the head coach in a different role than them as players doing the system, which is going to run with some tweaks here or there, of course. But knowing you and trusting who you are, knowing that they'll be in good hands, be able to have a good season coming up this year, as we've seen so far, at 7-1.
Yeah, that was it's good. We have a great group, man. We have great kids. They've been really enjoyable to coach, really fun to be around. And I was, you know, pleased because even after we lost to Hawaii on Saturday, their mentality was great. They, you know, it didn't really set us back, and I think we'll perform really well this week.
Yes, indeed. You got a tough back-to-back. I mean, what a back-to-back you have with Arizona State tomorrow night, and then we got Cal coming up there with Mark Fox on Wednesday night. So, Coach, how are you doing to prepare your team for a back-to-back, kind of trying to make sure you prepare for Arizona State for sure, but also knowing you got Cal right behind them?
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, I think we'll put as much as we can into the Sun Devils. Obviously, we started working on them yesterday, and you know, just kind of give it a roll all we got tomorrow night. And then really, as soon as that game ends, you know, we'll give our guys some time to rehab and clean up, and then we'll watch some film on Cal Tuesday night before we go home as a team, you know. And then and Wednesday we'll come back and walk through and watch some more. But it's really the way we're trying to prepare our guys is treat it similar to like a conference tournament where, you know, regardless of how we do the first night, we're going to have another game that next day. So we better be ready to flip the switch and make sure that we empty the tank in these two games, because then we get 10 days off during our finals break, and we should have some time to kind of regroup before we go on the road to play Fullerton on the 14th.
Yeah, what are you seeing from Arizona State on film? I know Arizona State always has been dynamic for what they do. So what are you seeing from them on film as you get prepared to play them tomorrow night?
You know what? They are one of the quickest teams I've seen in the country. You know, guys like Remy Martin and Jalen House are really effective pressuring the ball and running through passing lanes and creating offense through their defense. They do a really good job of, you know, producing steals in transition and in the half court. And they're really fast, really athletic, can get out and run on you. And I think if we can control the tempo of the game and make them operate in the half court offensively, we're going to give ourselves a chance. But, you know, if we're sloppy with the ball and letting them get out and transition and kind of play a free-spirited game, that's going to be really tough for us to match. So I think tempo is key. I think, you know, taking care of the ball tomorrow night is going to be really key. And then we got to do a really good job, you know, defending Remy Martin. He's one of the best guards in the country. Downhill point guard, does a great job getting to the rim, scoring in the half court, and then really good at finding the roll and the pick and roll. And, you know, we're going to be up for the challenge. We got to do a good job against him. And if we can handle those different buckets, we'll give ourselves a chance. That's for sure.
We got there right. And now I haven't seen Coach Fox's teams. This is a Cal, but is he running the same stuff he ran at Georgia for the most part? Because I remember watching him here at Georgia. He runs some dynamic stuff here, some different things that kind of off the flare screens and those down screens he likes to run. There's kind of the same things where we saw at Georgia here that Coach Fox is doing out there at Cal right now.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, one of the things that they've done quite a bit, you know, better this year, they're just more efficient offensively from an effective field goal standpoint. You know, he's got them taking and making good shots, has them playing with a lot more purpose. I think, you know, to your point, they really do operate off those pin downs and off those flare screens. And you got to, as a defender, you really have to be able to concentrate and focus, because if you lose sight of your man, that's 2 points for those guys. And, you know, he's done a really good job with their personnel, getting guys like Matt Bradley and Grant and T-Spitch, Kareem South. Those guys are really performing well within his system. And, you know, I think it's proving wise in their results. You know, they're 5-2, whereas last year, you know, they struggled to win 5 games all year. You know, so Coach Fox is doing a really nice job coming in, getting them organized and playing with a lot more purpose.
Coach Goldie, what I watched about your team, I've kind of kept an eye on you guys, is like your team is really in sync. And I feel like you said, having the guys come back, having that camaraderie, now returning guys really helped you. Because I feel like when I watch the team, they're very much together, very connected. And, you know, some teams you watch, they don't really feel like they're really together. They're out there, but they're not really as one. I feel like your team is really as one. That's probably helped you to get off this good start jar at 7-1 right now.
No, it's first of all, I appreciate that because it's something that we stress and talk about all the time. And, you know, one thing with this group, we're really deep. We have 10, 11 guys that could hurt you on any given night. And I think the main reason why we've been able to have some early season success is because we enjoy our teammates' success. You know, it's one of the things that's the most important part of our program. You know, guys like Trey Anderson, I think he could start for a lot of different Division I programs, but he's accepted that role as our backup point guard, comes in, gives us 8 to 12 great minutes every night. And I don't have to worry about Trey having a bad attitude or being selfish or worrying about what his results are. He's in there for his teammates. He watches and enjoys seeing Jamari Bouye do well. He enjoys seeing Khalil Shabazz do well. And that's a recurring theme throughout our group. And it's obviously made it a lot easier for me as a coach, but I also think it's one of the reasons why we've been so efficient offensively, because our guys are willing to make the extra pass. They're willing to draw the defense, the kick. And I make sure I explain it to our guys. As long as we're willing to play with that mentality, we're going to be really, really hard to guard.
You got that right. And, Coach, I can only imagine getting an 18- and 20-year-old kid, 23-year-old kid to buy into a role when they've been the man at their high school. So having getting them to buy into a role, saying, hey, you're just a screener, you're just a driving kick guy, you're a 3-and-D guy, you're a spot-up shooter, you're a rebounder, you are a lockdown defender. So getting guys to buy in these roles and having 10 or 11 guys who could definitely play and start different places and has to be like, man, I'm a lucky man as a coach to have guys to actually buy the roles and accept their roles and not make it hard on me as a coach, trying to find them and to force to feed them in the games to get them to play not good, not make the team sour on one another.
Right. Well, part of the deal, you know, to be honest, JR, is that we try to allow our guys to have the ultimate freedom when they're on the floor. And to continue using Trey as an example, you know, I don't ask him to play like a backup point guard. I don't ask him to come in the game and be really unselfish and play really slow and keep the team. I tell Trey, hey, when you go in there, I want you to attack. I want you to be aggressive. I want you to try to get in the paint, try to get to the rim, make plays for yourself and make plays for others. So when our guys go in there, they feel free. They feel like they have the green light. And I think that's part of the reason why, you know, we're not limiting them within their roles. We're just limiting them in terms of their minutes, right? So they're going out there and they're getting baskets in those 8 to 12, 16 minutes because I have confidence in them to make plays. And I think that's the biggest reason as to why guys are willing to accept their playing time from a minute standpoint, because when they go out, they're able to play their own games. They're able to play the way they want to play, which is aggressive and up-tempo.
I feel like Coach Goldie, when it comes down to late February and March, it's time for tournament time, that having to be able to go to 10, 11 guys will help you in tournament format when guys' legs are get tired on those back-to-back-to-backs you may have in a tournament situation. So I feel like having that many pieces to go to, whether it be foul trouble, injuries, or what have you, you have options to cover a hole if someone comes up, which you don't want it to come up. But if it happens, you have enough depth to cover that.
No, 100%. And honestly, we're seeing it already. You know, one of our main front court guys, Tavi Yerkatam, went down with a hand injury in our second game of the season. Fortunately for us, he'll be back in a week or two. But it was really just next man up. You know, we're missing his defense, and he's a good facilitator from the front court. But now, instead of playing 10, we're playing 9. And now those 9 guys are – some of those guys are getting a few extra minutes. But again, it goes back to the confidence, and it goes back to the next man up mentality. And I hope you're right. You know, as the season goes on, we should be the more fresher team. You know, I see teams in November, early December operating with 7, you know, maybe 7.5 man rotations. But we're playing 9 guys, and by the time the conference season comes around, we should be the fresher team.
I just saw a game where they pretty much had 6.5 men. I'm like, it's only December. You're only playing 6.5 men. I don't know how these guys are going to survive.
you see it all the time, man. And I'm hoping that the fact that we're able to play all these guys does pay off for us down the road.
It would kill me by the coach. It was in a tournament situation at the Orlando Invitational. Like, you're in an Invitational. It's a tournament game. It's a tournament season, and you're playing 6.5 dudes. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. It's hard to survive that way. You better hope you stay healthy. I can promise you that.
Yes, indeed. And now, Coach, like I said, you know, you looking at your conference, man, like in the league, 7 of the 10 teams are over .500, we're at least 6 wins or better. So it has to be good for the West Coast Conference already to have six teams already, seven teams with 6 wins or better already, as we say in December, in non-conference play.
Our league's a joke, man. It really is. I believe it's, and obviously I'm a little biased, but I believe it's the most underrated league in the country. You know, I look at it, you know, we have, I think, five teams, including ourselves, that are in the top 25 in the country offensively, from an adjusted offensive efficiency standpoint. So you're not getting any nights off when it comes to coming up against a team that you might be able to get away with a poor defensive effort. No, you know, if you do that, teams are going to put 90 on your head. So it's a battle. Hopefully, you know, the rest of the country kind of wakes up and sees it. And, you know, I do believe our league deserves multiple, maybe three bids this year, you know, with teams like Gonzaga, St. Mary's, BYU, ourselves, Pepperdine, Santa Clara. You know, there's six teams right there I just gave you that I think could all play in the postseason.
And like you say, like at this point, if 70% of the schools in the conference are already over 500 with 6 wins or better in December, I mean, the committee needs to take an eye off that and see, like, man, the WCC got some things going on out there for real, even nationally. Because I feel like you all, because it's on the West Coast, people are out here don't really pay attention to it. Like, it's real junkie like I am. I watch all kind of basketball all the time. Right. You know, I'm a junkie. So I'm going to watch it 12:30 a day and watch you guys play. But parents, I like JR here, but I feel like they should give y'all some run out there because it's a great ball out there in the WCC conference right now.
No, it's tough. And, you know, and I'm hoping, and we have an opportunity this week where, you know, maybe we could shed some light onto that. You know, get these two Pac-12 teams in our gym. It's going to be on national TV, both games on CBS Sports. And, you know, hopefully some of those committee members on the East Coast stay up, you know, past their bedtime a little bit and do their homework and watch us play. And at the same time, hopefully our guys, you know, answer the bell and are able to deliver on that stage.
And, Coach, I'm also looking at this, like you said a little bit, we talked about Mike Mitchell's speech play, Cal State Fullerton in 10 days after this game here on against Cal there. So have an opportunity to kind of self-scout your team. You know, give or take, you need to be 9-1 and 7-3, give or take, which is still good at this point of the season. So get out to the self-scout at this point and you kind of see where you guys have strong suited at, where you weak at. Like, you can tell, I was kind of say, hey, we can do this thing better going forward now with this little break you have after playing Cal on Wednesday night there.
Yeah, honestly, the one area I'm really pleased with how we're playing offensively. I think, you know, again, we're getting out in transition. We're sharing the ball. It's an area where if we can continue with that mentality, we should be in good shape. But the main area where we need to improve is obviously on the defensive side of the ball. We've just been a little too easy to get scored on. I think part of it's because we're playing a little more up-tempo. When you play fast, it's harder to grind out defensive possessions all the time. But over that 10-day break, I will guarantee you that we will be spending a lot of time on the defensive end of the floor trying to clean up some things to prepare ourselves for the back half of the non-conference play as we get into January 2nd, our first conference game.
And I can only imagine, Coach, it's a great recruiting tool for you in non-conference right now because you're playing so well in non-conference. People are seeing the USF Dons doing well once more. And also it's going to help you get guys now who might even not think about San Francisco as an option. Now say, hey, this is a good option here to play for these guys. They play fun, up-tempo is fun. Got a good, vibrant young coach, so a great city. So we can come out here and have good education as well. So I feel like it's helping recruiting as well if you're looking at it from an outside point of view right now.
No, for sure, and I appreciate you saying that. We're definitely working hard on the recruiting trail. We're bringing in two really good bigs here for this next year, which we'll need because we lose Jimbo Lowell, our 7-foot center. But to be honest, I got some studs that are sitting out redshirting in my program as it is. Damari Milstead, who was a 2-year starter at Grand Canyon, who's sitting out this year on a transfer, who will be a great point guard option for us over the next 2 years. And then Isaiah Hawthorne, who's probably one of my most talented kids on the team as a freshman. He's just really young. He just turned 18 when the school year started, but he's 6'8", about 200 pounds, combo forward guard. Just really, really good offensive player. Can dribble, shoot, and pass with the best of them. So we have some guys within our program who will add to our depth next year. And I hope these two big guys coming in will be able to solidify that hole that's left by Jimbo. And we should really just be able to continue running with this group that we have within our program.
And last one I got for you, Coach, I looked at your roster. You have five guys from international guys outside the U.S. I mean, so you're doing a big thing outside the U.S., man. So what's like trying to recruit these guys from out of the country to come to San Francisco? It's a great city, of course, but how you get these guys to come out there and play for you, man? I feel like you're doing a good job in the international ranks, which a lot of things it's slept on a lot, but people should
hey, we go over there a lot. To be honest, we go over there quite a bit. I spent a week over there as soon as the recruiting period opened this year. I'll go over again as soon as the season's over. And to your point, I think San Francisco is very recognizable from an international standpoint. I think you will have the opportunity to beat some bigger programs on those kids because their families know San Francisco. And no offense to Iowa State, but I don't think Ames, Iowa registers on the radar with kids from, Europe from the same perspective.
It doesn't. It doesn't mess with me from Atlanta.
Right? Yeah, you hear it. So I think that gives us a chance to be, a team like, let's just say, Creighton, who's in, Omaha, Nebraska, or, somewhere in middle America that might not have the same jing to it that, a coastal location like San Francisco or L.A. or New York or Atlanta, for that matter, might have that recognition, that recognizability. I think we do a really good job with. So, the reality is our recruiting should be pretty simple. It should be our backyard here in the Bay Area, keeping the stud local talents here, and then going overseas to get some big studs and, just fill in the blanks here and there.
Coach Golden, best luck to you on that back-to-back, man. We'll definitely be cheering for you. Definitely talk to you again down the road, man, and have a great Christmas and New Year as well, Coach.
I appreciate you, JR. Hopefully we run into you at the Final Four this year.
Hopefully so, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, we'll take care. Talk to you soon.
See you then, man. All right, it's Ty Golden here on the Boss Man Show.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, Prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there. Your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach T Will 24, or Instagram Travis L Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Folks, back here on the Boss Man Show. Here with Austin P. Governor's head coach, Mark Hutchman, here on the Boss Man Show. Coach Hutchman, how things going in Clarksville, man, up there on College Drive up there in Clarksville, man?
Everything's going good. Excited about being in the playoffs and winning the Ohio Valley Conference Championship.
Yes, indeed. So, Coach, you took over this job on this time last year, Coach. What do you feel has been the biggest accomplishment for you in the program forces growing underneath your tutelage for the last year or so here at Austin Peay?
Well, we're just very fortunate. I'm really proud of this football team and proud of this community and university here at Austin Peay, which is we're about 40 miles north of Nashville up this way. But for our university in Clarksville to experience this success that we've had this year and getting our 10th win and conference championship and now advancing to the second round, teams worked awfully hard to get to this point. This program has come so far and had so many years where they struggled. I'm just so proud that they now can experience some success as we continue to build a championship football program.
Now, Coach, before you took this job at Austin Peay, I know you was in Mississippi State. So what about the job at Austin Peay really piqued your interest? Say, hey, we can build something in Clarksville. This administration has my back. So what about when you're in the process of trying to get hired for the job, made you just decide, hey, it's the right place for me and my family to move on to?
Well, first, I was looking for the right opportunity to be a head coach again. I'd been head coach at North Alabama, a head coach at Louisiana Lafayette for 7, and wanted that opportunity again. And knew a lot about the Nashville area and the Clarksville area because it's really a great quality of life up this way. And then when I came on the visit to Austin Peay, I just saw a lot of potential, a lot of untapped resources, and I felt like it would give us an opportunity to compete if we could get it going. So I think our program's going in the right direction, and I think hopefully we can continue building on our success we've had this year.
Now, what was the key to the game against Furman? 42-6 victory? Looking at the game, because some of you in all three phases of the game, you executed very, very well, in my opinion.
Well, we got off to a great start, and our kids have just gotten better each week. You know, we had a big win over Jacksonville State earlier in the year, and that sort of gave our team a lot of confidence as we continued to build our program. And after we won the OVC, I think they realized we had a chance to maybe compete at the national level, and we got our first win against a quality team in Furman last week. And now we've got to go play an outstanding team in Sacramento State this Saturday in Sacramento, California.
Now, what's it for those guys on film, Coach? I know you don't play them very often, of course. Not you play OVC opponents, of course. So what's it for those guys on film as you prepare for this week and this trip out to California?
Well, I'll tell you, they got one kid is leading the nation in sacks, George Fabina. And so he's going to be a challenge to block. They've got an outstanding team. That part is going to be a challenge for our team. We're still growing as a team, but the culture of our team has really taken over, and I like the progress we're making.
You got that right, Coach. And being a first-year coach, I feel like this playoff run is really helping you build that culture, build that foundation for the future going forward, because I see in year one you've had success already, so it's going to help with buy-in going forward, in my opinion, Coach.
Well, you sure think so. And our team really, I think our team really is bought into the culture we brought in. And to me, that's one of the keys to our success here at Austin Peay.
You got that right. Now, Coach, for as the recruiting grounds, Coach, I feel like the landscape of college football is changing, of course, where FCS teams are getting better players now. It's just going exponentially for the talent in the FCS level now. You still go to the NFL draft, still get drafted. If you put out there good film, the eye in the sky does not lie. So, being Tennessee, how do you position yourself at Austin Peay to recruit the good talent in Tennessee to get them to come up there and say, hey, Austin Peay, if you play well here at Austin Peay, you can still go to the NFL and live your dream to be a professional football player and also get a degree as well?
Yeah, we've got a lot of players right now on our team. There's going to be an NFL camp next year. And so, you know, at the FBS level, they can't sign them all. And there's so many good players. And obviously, we get transfers from FBS. And so, we've got quite a few on our team now. So, the opportunity to come here and go to the next level is real. And you see it every year in the NFL draft. And, you know, Carson Wentz is a great example of that coming from FBS. And so, there's a lot of good players at this level. You see that year in, year out.
You got there right, Coach. And, Coach, for our listeners out here who will be watching the game on ESPN+, they're going to keep an eye on you guys this weekend. Who are some key guys in your roster that our fans should watch out for and seeing your team play this weekend?
Well, watch our quarterback, Javon Craig. Outstanding player, senior OVC, first-team quarterback, outstanding player. Kentel Williams, our All-American running back. You'll see him playing on Sunday. He is a two-time All-OVC, All-American player. So he's from Chattanooga, so not too far from you guys. And so we've got some really good players. I think you enjoy watching the game. It'll be an exciting football game.
You got there right, Coach. And also, Coach, a little bit of a question about your program as you go forward here. What's going to be the type of young man you want to bring into the off-speed program for going forward? I like kind of getting into what you guys are coaches about. Like, what is your typical young man you want to bring into your program? What kind of young man you want to represent being a governor going forward?
Well, I mean, you know, first and foremost, I think anybody tries to recruit not only the best players, but for us, there's a lot of good players out there. We want to find the best players that have the best character. And so for us, that's a no-brainer for us. That's a deal breaker if someone is not the right fit for us, character wise. So that part is highly vetted, the character part. And so that's the part to me that is what I want to bring in around my players, around my family, around my little kids are at practice every day, is players that obviously are focused on academics and life and have their life in order. And we're going to try to help them continue growing as men and become great fathers, hopefully become great husbands, great leaders in their church, in their community. And so that part to me is very important to help develop these young men off the field just as well as on the field.
And, Coach, I feel like at the college level, Coach, a guy's 18 and 22 years old, you're the last line of defense before they go into that real world. So it's very key to get into a program and with people who really love them and care about them as people and want them to grow as men, like you said, Coach, and grow and develop those life skills, not only football skills, but the life skills to be, like you said, a great husband or a great doctor or a great lawyer or a great businessman or entrepreneur after their football career is over, to hang up those cleats and get that degree from Austin Peay.
Well, we got a great university, and that you can get that right here. But, you know, every university has got stadiums. They've got a weight room. They've got libraries, cafeterias, math building. What separates some universities from others is the people. And we've got great people here that care about the student-athletes, care about their students in general, that want the best for those guys. And we're going to do all we can to help these guys continue growing in their faith and growing in their education, and hopefully on the football field too.
Yeah, Coach, who are some coaches, individuals who really help you in your career become a better person and become a better coach, and kind of guys you kind of still talk to now and stuff might come across your desk you might not quite have the answer for right away. So who are those guys you kind of lean on in the coaching profession who you still kind of talk to really helps you out a lot to this day still?
Well, you know, you always got your key guys that you sort of learned a lot from when you were a young coach growing up, and so many coaches had such a big influence on myself as I was a young coach growing up. But probably the biggest coach that had the most influence on me was a coach named Steve Campbell. He's currently the head coach at South Alabama. And, he was my college coach, and then I was at the opportunity to coach for him. And he does an incredible job, and one of the best coaches in the country, in my opinion. So he's one of the coaches that I've always sort of leaned on.
Now, Coach, I know he's a tight end coach at Mississippi State. So, the tight end, I feel like in football is really evolved. A lot of them now act as more of slot receivers. Now they're running jet sweep reverses. Now, you know, they're less more blockers, they're more receivers now, more athletic and more out on the outside there. So, when you was guy first got in the business, Coach, you see the tight end position really evolving the way it has.
You've got good tight ends on our team, part of our team. And for us, that's a hybrid position. You got to be able to run, block the form attack, and then be pretty dynamic in the passing game. That's a tough position to be able to play.
Yes, indeed. With Coach Hudspeth, thank you so much for your time today, man. The best luck to you in Sacramento. I hope to talk to you real soon, Coach.
Thanks for having us on, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, now it's Mark Hudspeth here on the Bossman Show, people.
Yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.